mind, what must or what can the cardiologist do to help his patients or her patients in the prevention aspect and the preventative aspect, really?
We have a workshop for that. It takes 2.5 days to tell you, to even get you started. First, the cardiologist, if a preventive practice is not his bag or her bag, to support it, determine what's available in the community and refer people appropriately. Follow up, inquire, be intelligently supportive and interested, just as he would sending people to the podiatrist. Second, become involved. Relatively little knowledge and relatively few skills are sufficient to do a decent job of advising patients and of utilizing one's office personnel, nurse, receptionist, health aides, nutritionist, for a more appropriate, rounded approach to this aspect, and probably economic. Support the development of health education units in one's clinic or one's community hospital. Become very involved, very skilled, take a leadership role to develop this on one's own, to seek out innovative, cost-effective ways of getting people to change their behavior and to influence the entire families and the entire community in this area. Finally, to assume a community role of leadership, either with the college or the Heart Association, which would encourage these developments in the community.
How must the role of the American College of Cardiology, what is the role of the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association?
We have to clearly differentiate those. As you know, the American College of Cardiology is a delightful professional club whose primary purpose is professional education. It has not assumed a large public education or social role other than the testifying for clinical and basic research before Congress. So the role of the American College of Cardiology continues to be stimulation of professional education for the physician, for the cardiologist. In that regard, it has a role to consider preventive cardiology as one of the major challenges to cardiologists and to the profession. And it has responded to that with progressive interest and energy in the founding of a preventive cardiology committee and in the carrying out this fall of a Bethesda conference, which is its mechanism for summarizing the state of the art in a given area. Bethesda conference on electrocardiographic standards, on arrhythmias. They had a Bethesda conference on prevention in September of this year, in which working groups had met over the previous year and have come up with a series of recommendations on college policy and on appropriate clinical practice and emphasis in preventive cardiology practice. Its role beyond that, I would think, would be in its role as lobbyist, in which I would like to see it emphasize a balance so that transfer of knowledge, practical applications, preventive and health promotion would be recommended as strongly as research in genetics or lysozymes or DNA.
In a way, I see you almost as a voice in the wind, in the sense that everybody, all of medicine seems to me to be geared towards treatment of the problem, treatment of the pathology. And here you're coming along and saying, no, it's the preventative thing. How will medicine have to change in order to maximize the potential from preventative aspect? Ultimately looking at better patient care.
Well, this is very fundamental, and as you know, first we consider the economic base of present practice, in which medical care is paid for by procedures, medical advice and chit-chat and education are not paid for. What is paid for is a procedure, whether it's diagnostic or therapeutic. So that's very fundamental, and that's what's responsible for the pricing situation in medicine is responsible for this lack of emphasis on the whole patient and the whole problem. So we're talking about very fundamental changes in structure there that are not going to happen probably ever, and certainly not overnight. What we really seek from the specialist is special advice and credibility for this approach, so that other aspects of the profession and of the public health professions can function more effectively. We're not expecting doctors to drop their knives or to drop their catheters or to drop their test tubes and come running to this when the economic structure doesn't support it, when the training and the mission of physicians is not related to this. In addition to the emphasis on treatment, the whole emphasis on and research follows technology. I don't know the exact quote, but Don Fredrickson pointed that out very recently, and I'm sure you see it if you go to pacemaker meetings, pacemaker exhibits. Research activity follows technological development, technological activity. All this business of echo, of imaging, of bypass, all this follows the technology. That's where the emphasis is. That has nothing to do with prevention of disease. And that's fine in a society that can afford it, that we give this individual ultimate care to the human individual. What we're talking about is balance, and what we're talking about is support of a preventive approach, which may or may not require the active participation of the cardiological specialist. I think it does not require.
How do you expect to be successful in convincing the general public about the preventative measures that could ultimately save them, provide them with longevity, mm-hmm. when so many other groups have been unsuccessful, in the sense that it's very hard to change people's opinion about what they think is a good life into a less good life?
Let me suggest first that, to use the proper word, preventive is the slightly more acceptable word than preventative, so you can drop one syllable. It's acceptable, it's correct, but it's not preferred, okay? Secondly, it's, again, a question of attitude and where you come from, and I think I'm a hereditarian only in the sense that I think one's basic attitude of optimism, pessimism, fatalism, determinism versus activism and change is almost as fundamental as DNA. It may have to do with being weaned too early, I don't know. But I really don't know. But your question indicates or reflects a common viewpoint that I tried to express in some of my slides. I don't accept that. I accept that the fact that the world changes, people change individually, cultures change, and they change rapidly. Rapidly in any historical sense, certainly rapidly, evolutionary sense. Our attitudes toward Russia can change in a year, from embracing to war. Our attitudes toward salt in baby's food can change in 6 months. Our attitudes toward smoking can change in 5 years. The whole American dietary has changed dramatically in 20 years. Institutions and people change dramatically. Now, what has not been successful has been the medical model approach to this, and that from thence derives much of the pessimism. Doctors have not done a very good job of helping people lose weight, helping people stop smoking, simply because they haven't given their authority or learned the skills to help them do that. So I would not accept your statement that so many people have failed. I would indicate to you that when things move together, there appears to be a critical mass effect to make something fashionable, which is healthy, like the exercise craze now and the rapid rate at which American men are stopping smoking, as well as things becoming unhealthy, such as the increased consumption of fatty beef in the 1950s and 1960s. So I'm saying that human behavior is flexible, is modifiable, and what would you do about it? You act in concert with multiple strategies in youth and adult programs, and not expect any one of them to do the whole job.
Imagine yourself talking to your peers in cardiology, really talking to the American College of Cardiology.
Right.
If there was a single statement that you could leave them with, what would that be about your whole area? What do you expect from them, or perhaps thoughts about preventive? I'll never be able to say that word right again.
Preventive.
Preventive.